Resource, Part 1, Restoring Inner Value, narrated by Katie Light. Introduction. This ebook is about unifying the naturally occurring resources inside and outside of you for an improved life experience. Words are a tool people use daily to navigate their world. You know, as well as I do, words help us to increase understanding and ease, or dis-ease, in connection. To ensure you and I have the same understanding of the key words used in this book, such as divinity, review the definition page. I happily admit that all the res, use, and resource acronyms are registering pretty high on the cheesy scale, thank the brain. Acronyms and subtle deviations from the norm, like spelling words meaningfully rather than correctly, stand out, increasing learning, retention, and most importantly, your ability to integrate through actualizing your understanding. I gave myself the authority to write this ebook, but only the reader, you, can give it any credibility. It is intended to be written as self-evident. As you read it, you won't have to check sources outside of your mind, body, and life experience to determine the validity of what is being shared. You don't have to understand how your body and nature work together for them to work together. You don't have to understand photosynthesis and the unconscious mind to breathe air automatically. Nonetheless, both impact your ability to do so. Similarly, you don't have to understand the reproductive system to have a baby, yet through understanding it, you have a better chance of intentionally conceiving a life. By bringing awareness to how you are consciously, subconsciously, and unconsciously co-creating your life with the world around you, you gift yourself the opportunity to align with your desired life experience. From an expanded consciousness rooted in love, we collectively have the power to change the world. By choosing to place our energy and focus on co-creating a better quality of life for all, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has, Winston Churchill. Resource is a way of being intentional with your life and all life. It's not a quick way to fix surface problems. Rather, how you define and perceive problems will change as you verify this information for yourself. May the divine spirit within us all evolve our souls until suffering is just an experience, not a collective state of being. Rights reserved as divine intelligence intended, every part of this book may be used or reproduced to increase the quality of your life, if you will it so. I love you, be well, and enjoy. Chapter 1. Remember. None are more helplessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Goethe. Awakening with the sun and moon. Breathe intentionally as you imagine, sense, and feel. You are surrounded by darkness, anticipating the light. Your eyes focused east, the sun rises. Sunlight dawning new life as the darkness of the world is condensed to shadows. Light and dark casting new perspectives, new colors, new vision, for it is the dance of dark and light the world takes form. Walking east towards the sun, you notice it rises slowly but steadily. You observe all the people and things around you cast a shadow. While walking towards the light, it's easy to see shadows cast by everything else but you. You don't often see your own shadow. The warmth and wisdom of the sun cast it behind you as you yourself begin to rise and awaken. Continuing to walk towards the light, continuing to mostly see the shadows cast by outside. The sun is directly overhead now. Hardly a shadow cast. You bask in the full light of the sun, fully seen, fully integrated into the light. For that moment, all is right in your world. The sun begins to set behind you. You continue east, your shadow cast in front of you now, asking to be seen. The warmth and light of the sun at your back, still glowing inside you as you bravely observe your shadow. Less distracted with the shadows of others, curious as you watch the shadow dance. As the sun sets, your shadow merges with the darkness all around you. Fear of the unknown is but a temporary impediment of darkness, never a match for the power of light. Surrendering to the dark, cold world, you glimpse the light of the moon. Returning to presence, you welcome the moon as your teacher. In its whole state, the moon lightens the darkness, shining brightly on the usually hidden nightlife below. The moon skillfully maintains its light energy by moving through darkness in cycles, naturally shifting in size to safely meet the darkness night after night, bringing it light. Like the moon, you will learn to gracefully and lovingly shine light into the darkness of each day, accepting your own and other shadows for what they are, the darkness of the unknown. The dance of light and dark is the dance of known and unknown influences in your life. When your inner light integrates the darkest night within, there is nothing to hide, nothing to present. You become a celebration of a unique conscious, bringing the light of love to the world. Spirit of creation. The pursuit to understand what already exists is called science. Understanding something scientifically or intellectually is entirely different than experiencing it. Understanding getting shot is a painful experience requiring a recovery period is not the same as experiencing the pain of being shot and requiring a recovery period. Do you see and feel the pain of humanity's untreated suffering? If you aren't in a suffering state yourself, can you think of people you know or groups of people you don't know who are? It is apparent, collectively, universally, a recovery period will benefit all. Whatever you believe is true to you. You will instruct your life on your beliefs, accurate to reality or not. Beliefs limit and discourage divine connection. Words, thoughts, and beliefs are too limited to contain or completely understand nature's intelligent spirit of creation. An ever-evolving consciousness rooted in the sacred reverence for all life, supporting all life. Your soul will never stop knocking on the door of your conscious attunement, yearning life after life for the embodied existence divine intelligence intended. Peace, or present embodied attunement, co-creating everywhere. You don't have to believe in past lives to accept DNA is a reality. We have an ancestry traceable through our DNA, showing our evolution through time and space. So even if this life is your only experience of life, your body carries a story of before. In fact, I'm using language that was developed before anyone alive today uttered a single word. To write this, I'm using a tool of cognition developed before I or you existed. Your mind, like your body, is a co-creation that matters. We are not the creator. We are matter co-creating with all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. Diversity and congruence. Consider how nature's intelligence nourishes humans through diversity and keeps humans safe through congruence. Let that sink in. Diversity and congruence are facts of life, undeniable felt realities of human existence. Have you ever been emotionally hurt by someone disagreeing with you? Of course, if you are sharing something and it registers differently than intended, especially if you expected them to have the same feeling or belief as you, you are bound to disappointment. Simply by honoring and accepting the nourishing quality of diversity of action, thought, belief, emotion, and perspectives in all others, we have the ability to bring conscious curiosity to connection, rather than fear or the perceived pain of differences. What do humans fear the most? Judgment. Check for yourself. Why don't you say and do everything you want to do at all times? Most will determine either fear of negative judgment, which includes not wanting to hurt others, or lack of resources. What do humans love the most? Receiving positive or accurate judgments of themselves or their creations from others. You easily share what you feel will be judged positively. Being supported, appreciated, and loved is a survival need. You don't need to understand neurobiology, physiology, or the endless philosophies and psychologies dedicated to diagnosing and fixing, in quotes, the human condition. You need to learn to understand and regulate yourself. You know what it feels like to be regulated, comfortable, in a state of ease and congruence with yourself and the world. You also know what it feels like to be dysregulated, uncomfortable, and in a state of dis-ease or incongruence with yourself and the world. Both diversity and congruence are required for survival. If I instruct you to get more comfortable right now, just move your body in a way that makes you even more comfortable than you already are. You naturally know how to adjust your body. I don't have to tell you what to do. You know how to move into comfort. Congruence is felt through the senses and regulated unconsciously, prompting our instinct to conform for safety and survival. Have you ever been in a conversation with a complete stranger, said something, and immediately knew whatever you said they did not agree with? That is because as you are interacting, you are unconsciously, energetically reading every person you meet. As you receive outside energy and vibration, you automatically process it unconsciously through the autonomic nervous system, subconsciously through past experiences, and consciously through present state of observation. This is why learning to differentiate what energy is generated inside of you and what energy is generated outside of you, combined with a clear understanding of your real survival and connection needs, is crucial to self-regulation. Consistent self-regulation leads to self-realization or alignment with your highest expression of life congruence. The person that easily allows and honors diversity within and without experiences congruence in their day-to-day life. The more accepting you are of the variety of life choices present outside of you, the more opportunities of harmonized connection you receive. However, if diversity or differences threaten your sense of self and ability for inner-outer congruence, you are guaranteed to experience many incongruencies and/or soul-numbing conformity while trying to survive a diverse world. There are infinite ways of being, unfathomable volumes of beliefs, and billions upon billions upon billions of preferences that exist, whether you like it or not. All that to say, you don't need to be told how to be you. You need to listen to yourself and allow your unique existence. Do you exist as you are? Or do you act like you want to be perceived in a given moment? Dissociate. Diversity is a gift that gives you permission to be as you are, no act required. There are many varieties of flowers, and they all require different environments to flourish. Similarly, you flourish under certain conditions, and only through your own conscious awareness can you determine what those conditions are. The flowers don't apologize, and you don't need to either, or do you? Forgiving the self and others for being diverse, complex beings filled with dark and light is a gift of awareness. A gift you gift yourself. Conditions or conditioned. You are born and remain a dependent consumer of life's resources for as long as you live, do you not? You may be able to love unconditionally, but you can't live unconditionally, at least not in a human body. Most of the conditions needed to sustain your particular human life are universal to all human survival. We're talking air, water, nourishment, sleep, touch, body temperature regulation. Yet, the conditioning that directs your mind and life course is as diverse as life itself. Conditioning is complex and covert because it's tied to your specific subconscious programming. If you don't like the conditions of your life, then you can change the conditioning of your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind influences you to feel that you need things when in reality you just want them based on conditioning. Conditioning is the external world internalized. I'm going to read that again because it's pretty big. Conditioning is the external world internalized. Common sources of conditioning are family, society, culture, past experience, heightened feelings, and they culminate into micro and macro beliefs known and unknown to you, which run your life. You don't actually need much to survive and thrive. You either condition yourself or the world conditions you. In fact, what you are conditioned by the world to believe you need may actually be incongruent with your desired life experience of peace, present embodied attunement, co-creating everywhere. Discerning the difference between the conditions of your life and the chosen and unchosen conditioning running your life is what the rest of this book is about. Right now, just acknowledge to yourself on a daily basis, are you most preoccupied and driven by other people's problems and perceptions of you, your own problems and perceptions of you, or divine intelligence, which solves all problems and is perception itself? Energy matters. Have you ever said any of the following? My energy's low today. I do not have the energy for this right now. Their energy was off. I don't like their energy. I love their energy. Energy and matter are a fact of life. You are energy condensed into matter or form with electric currents that carry information interacting with the chemistry and frequency generated inside and outside of you. It's a lot. Your internal energy radiates out from within your body, and you receive energetic information from outside at all times. The world is an interconnected, bidirectional co-creation. Your energy influences the world, and the world's energy influences you. You don't have to be a mind reader, telepathically navigating through life to energetically experience someone's state of mind. Similarly, you can walk into any gathering and feel the vibe or the spirit of the connection. You consciously or unconsciously absorb energy, accept and receive, fight energy, reject and receive, or transmute energy, neutralize and transform. You know when you are feeling aligned with the energy of a person or an environment. The question is, do you know why you feel aligned? Energy, like life, is a cultivation practice. Thoughts and emotions carry an energetic charge. They are fluid and temporary, although reoccurring due to subconscious programming. When your thoughts and emotions recur over time, they create a strong energy state in your body. If you practice the energy of peace, you will cultivate the state of peace. If you practice the energy of insecurity, you will cultivate the state of insecurity. This is true for any mental and emotional state. What you practice is what you experience, desired or not. Energy awareness becomes a powerful tool for self-regulation. Energy you don't want, you can intentionally neutralize and transmute. And energy you do want, you can intentionally cultivate and nourish, expanding its existence within and without. Your ability to co-create fulfilling and congruent life experiences increases as your internal and external energetic awareness increases. You project and emit your energy. And if you don't clearly know what energy you are projecting, then you also won't clearly understand what energy you are receiving. This is why denial and unconscious needs are so harmful to the human energy system. Denial of energy doesn't stop its existence. It stops your ability to understand and transmute its existence. You give, receive, and cultivate energy automatically. How consciously and intentionally you do this is up to you. How skillfully you work with energy depends solely on how often and intentionally you practice. Who or what's the matter? Some problems are universal when experienced, like starving. some problems you consider a problem and someone else would experience your problem as a gift. Universal problems threaten survival. Preference problems can feel life-threatening but aren't. Majority of problems are simply just preferences for reality to be different than it is. Collectively, there are billions upon billions upon billions of differing personal preferences, right? That creates infinite opportunities to learn from preference problems natural to your diverse life experience. You will learn how to rewrite preference problems in Chapter 3. For now, consider, how have you cultivated the practice of problems in your life? How are problem emotional states impacting your energy level? Emotional states equal energy states. So passive, reactive, obedient emotional states equal bound, lost energy momentum. Whereas present, responding observantly creates boundless, loving energy momentum. So rather than cultivating the practice of problems, you can become a problem pro by present responding observantly. Presently responding observantly. Okay. Denying the existence of unmet needs or preferences by not addressing them and instead entering passive, reactive, or obedient states deepens problematic life experiences. It doesn't stop them from existing and expressing. As with all things, it's just a matter of if your problematic energy will express consciously or unconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly, in alignment with your values and desired life experience, or in misalignment with your values and desired life experience. Whatever you are cultivating, you will have an abundance to share. Identity crisis. Humanity is experiencing a global identity crisis. Merriam Dictionary defines identity as the fact of being who or what a person or thing is, and crisis as a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger, a time when difficulty or important decisions must be made, the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery, that's what we're working for, or death, or D, all of the above. Identity. Identity is synonymous with attachment. Whatever you identify with, you attach to and make personal. Internalizing the external world is conditioning, which forms identity. Buddha deduced the root of suffering is attachment. The more you believe or energetically need from the external world, the more you attach to the external world, and the more susceptible you are to experiencing the pain and loss outsource identity guarantees. The attachment forms the identity, and conditioning influences the type of attachment that takes form. Learning to observe sensation and conditions inside and outside of you without attaching to them is the awakening process. You are capable of deeply enjoying and loving something without attaching to it. Attachment is powerful. Choose it wisely in all matters. States of mind or conditions of development. You don't control or rule your mind. You cultivate and mature a state of mind. Conscious, curious child. The conscious mind's job is to be in a present state of evolving observation. Your conscious mind is fluid and changes easily. Its power is your conscious will, which focuses attention. Your conscious mind's ability to focus attention is actually responsible for programming your subconscious from ages 0 to 11 approximately. The conscious mind is in conversation, presently asking for what it wants in all matters, consciously narrating your life perspectives in words and thoughts, internal or outspoken. Like a child, you love a good story. If your conscious mind was compared to a state of human development, it would be the infinitely curious and free child. All it wants to do is explore and enjoy the world. It's the mind that is always wanting more connection, always wanting attention. Look at me, it screams out. The conscious fights with the subconscious or adolescent mind like a sibling fighting for its needs and preferences. It rarely cares to hear its loving parent, the unconscious mind. The paradox of the conscious mind is it wants to evolve and be fulfilled, yet it can only do that by calming and quieting itself, co-creating with the subconscious adolescent mind and the unconscious parent mind. I don't know if you've met many children, but they don't often have the capacity to remain still while excited. Subconsciously stubborn. The subconscious mind's job is to store all past and present conscious observation from the child mind. Its intention is to move you towards what gives you energy, unconscious need, as it mediates between the conscious child mind's power of attention or will and the adult unconscious mind's power of survival. The subconscious communicates its findings through a spectrum of deep to numb feeling states, much like adolescence. Contrary to popular scientific opinion, you don't reason with your conscious mind. You come up with lots of ideas, but not reasoning. Your subconscious reasons for you based on your conditioning, and you justify that reasoning consciously with words. The subconscious mind is the collective's greatest untapped internal resource. It is meant to automate your life. You are designed to consciously move towards what gives you energy, expand, move away from what depletes energy, contract, receiving all that is incongruence, hold. Not consciously justify what you don't want, stuck. Incongruency is suffocating the power of your mind. Your subconscious moves towards preference states formed consciously in childhood through attention. The subconscious reasons if you paid attention to a particular energy in childhood and survived, it must be good for you, even if it wasn't good for you. The subconscious is impressionable like the conscious, but less flexible, less gullible, still gullible though. Good and bad are subjective to your life's conditioning. The subconscious is the adolescent stage of development, storing all your preferences and all your beliefs stubbornly. Its favorite statement is, "I know." But really, it only knows your experience and how you emotionally registered them. It was primarily developed by age 11, and that means any preferences and beliefs from 0 to 11, you act out 12 until you mature your subconscious programming in alignment with your conscious will and unconscious survival needs. If you haven't consciously updated your subconscious life instructions with your survival needs and desires since your life conditions set from 0 to 11, you are still reasoning with your child programming today. You can consciously choose to be in conversation with your subconscious. You can't remove feelings from your life. Feelings are energy. Energy is very real. You can learn to remove feelings and energy to more than just survive alive, but better understand truth to thrive. Many truths can exist energetically at once. You can expand your subconscious understanding of life to align your conscious will and nature's divine intelligence with your ever-present parent, the unconscious. Past parenting that didn't meet your needs for conscious, loving, secure exploration of your senses, 0 to 11, even if it was well-intentioned, co-created problematic conditions that don't align with your current desired life congruence. It is easier to change than you may think. Like all stages of development, communicating with your subconscious just takes practice. Practice presence with your inner teen through your feelings, finding harmony between the conscious and unconscious internal resources, boundless through playful patience. Ever-present parent. The unconscious mind, or survival mind, is the mature mind that has evolved slowly, steadily, over the span of human existence, and probably just existence itself. Its power is expressed through energy levels. The unconscious mind is like the sun at high noon, sees and feels all. In my experience, it is approximately 0% gullible. The subconscious that instructs and interprets for it can be, though. Also, contrary to popular scientific opinion, it isn't primitive. It is divine intelligence embodied. As you learn to listen to your unconscious through its language, you will understand its divine wisdom in a way that scientific inquiry can't. The unconscious mind is our direct connection to the source of all life, the meditation of pure consciousness. Why do you think we have to unconsciously sleep every night to survive? We require rest, restoration, now. You can only hear your soul through the rhythm of your conscious attunement to unconscious peace. Present embodied attunement, co-creating everywhere. By emptying your conscious mind and entering a meditative state, it creates healing naturally as it connects you with the divine intelligence inside of you. You do this naturally, easily, and once you realize that, like breath cycles, all of nature's creation share a process of expansion, contraction, and holding, you will be more graceful with yourself. Notice what is peaceful in your life. What creates stillness, presence, connection, easily and naturally. You are now learning to cultivate a deep, meaningful connection to your wise, loving parent, the part of your mind and life you so desperately crave. I'm going to just improv this page and discuss it. It's pretty big. This is actually really an overview of what this entire book is about. So we are talking about the very fluid states of being, inner divinity, or outer focus, inner dissociation. So you're either ID or of ID. Now, each one of these acronyms applies two different ways. So in inner divinity, when you are plugged into your GPS, you are plugged into your internal guiding perceiving spirit. Whereas when you're in a state of inner dissociation, you are plugged into the outer guided preference system, or OGPS, kind of like, oh, GPS, where are you taking me? So if you think about it, if your whole life is about the preferences or the standards outside of you and living up to those preferences and standards outside of you so that you can get the love or acceptance or survival needs required for your life, unfortunately, it's not coming from internal. So even if you receive what you need, it still doesn't mean that it's going to align and make you feel congruent with life. In inner divinity, you are always the CEO of your life, regardless of what state you are in, because the very limited control anyone has is their conscious will, which focuses attention. So that is the limited control you have over your consciousness. And even that can be disrupted from things outside of yourself that can really kind of take over, like a survival threat. So when you are in inner divinity, you are a conscious embodied observer. When you are in inner dissociation, you are trying to control life. You feel entitled to your preferences, and you feel that you have a sense of ownership, not just for yourself, but for other people in your life, the materials in your life, and on and on. And this is a very big concept. It can be difficult for people to understand that they don't even own themselves on a very philosophical and molecular level. So we're going to get into that more over time. Just try and keep an open mind and notice in what ways you're like, no, I absolutely don't agree with that. Remember, it's okay to be diverse. It's okay to see things different. In fact, it's very important to run everything by your own set of principles as you're learning to align with your internal guiding perceiving spirit. So the orientation is very different in inner divinity than it is in of ID. And of course, survival needs are a very big deal. This is why the first part of this book is all about restoring your internal resources. And part two of this book is all about coming into unity with external resources required for survival needs and universal values for humanity. So I owe you when you're in inner divinity, you are just in a state of inner outer unity. Whereas when you're of ID, you are in a state of I owe you, you owe me. Everything's very competitive. Again, we absolutely are competing for our survival needs. So that comes from a very deep place inside. But more than that, it's just this belief that you need to prove and earn your worth, prove and earn that you are loving or lovable. And whenever you're trying to prove, it's because you don't believe you have it, right? Like, I don't have to prove something that I know, I can just know. And if somebody else disagrees with me, it's like, that's fine, you know, kind of like this whole book. Like, this is my knowing from my life experience. And you may or may not agree. And I'm very open to expanding my understanding and perspectives. But I also run them by my own set of internal values and through my own conscious. I don't just accept the outside just because it's there. I allow it. I observe it. But it, how far I allow it to impact me is just depends, right? So now in inner divinity, we have this orientation kind of towards the present and the future as we do in inner dissociation. When you're in inner divinity, you're in a state of self-trust. Boundaries happen naturally because you are in a state of self-trust. And we're going to talk about boundaries in terms of another acronym called AND, access, nature, depth. We'll go deeply into that. And then distribution is, it's very, very important. It requires a lot of self-awareness because it means that you're going to consciously get your needs met. So you do know that you're going to have to distribute your energy. No one person has everything they need to survive. And no matter how independent you are, your life is still a co-creation with others because you are dependent on resources outside of yourself that others cultivate. So trust boundaries distribution is when you are in a conscious embodied observer state. You're trusting yourself. You're in the present moment. And so you're just fluid with it, flowing. Whereas total body darkness is the of ID inner dissociation. And the reason for this is they're not listening to their body and the cues of their body. And even when they are, it's more attached to the conscious mind's storyline. And the story of the conscious mind is not accurate to reality often. It is very often accurate to conditioning that is impacting whatever's being perceived in reality. So when you're in total body darkness, you're not trusting yourself, you don't trust the world, you're not listening to your body or your cues, you're really kind of just doing what you should, and I'm putting that in quotes, what you should do. So now let's move on to the next, because this is how you're going to be focusing your energy and time. When you're in inner divinity, you are cultivating practices that you love. And so you're putting your energy, focus, and time into that which you love. Whereas when you're in inner dissociation, you are cultivating whatever you feel that you need to be acceptable to the outside world. And that can be a really stressful, pressure-ridden experience that diminishes you. And in fact, it kind of reminds me of like Carol Dweck. She wrote a book called Mindset. She talks about the fixed and growth mindset. So in this sense, like, you know, of ID inner dissociation would very much be the fixed mindset. It's kind of like things are happening to you and you don't necessarily even have the tools or know how to fix it. So you just give up. You go into the problem state, the passive reactive obedience, rather than trying to shift towards what you love with your energy, focus, and time. And this is because also in inner divinity, you don't necessarily know what you love or cultivate what you love. You cultivate what you think other people will love so they'll love you. So it's when you're in this state of trying to be love instead of just being the state of love. Okay, lastly, but not lastly, is LID. And in inner divinity, this stands for loves and diversity. So when you are strong and you have core values and you are strong in yourself, diversity is fun. It's exciting. You want people to be different than you. In fact, it can even be annoying if somebody is too similar to you or is mimicking you or copying you because you want the differences. You love diversity. It's safe to be different than other people. And you understand that it is those differences which create such a full experience of life. And if you run into anything that you don't like, you know that you can just shift away from it. And we go deeply into that in chapters 2 and 3. and four. Okay, so the other orientation would be lives in division. So when you are in a state of outer focus, inner dissociation, everything is a competition. And this is just true in part because of the way our society is structured for survival needs not being met. But it's more than that. It's even when you see somebody that's doing something that you like, instead of being able to support and love them for that, it creates this division within yourself, and you actually, you know, project a lot of negativity out into the world. So lives in division is because it's scary to be in diversity when you don't have a strong sense of self, when you don't know what your own worth and values are. That can be difficult to be out in the world in that way. It can be scary. So we're going to, obviously this is like a lot. We're going to be diving into this the rest of the book. And this was my little just free flow. So I hope it made sense. I'm sure it made enough sense. And let's move on to the rest of chapter one. Let's see your ID. Inner divinity, ID, and inner dissociation, outer focus, inner dissociation of ID, are conscious matters of focused attention, therefore potentially fluid states of being. Inner divinity is prioritizing the connection to your internal guiding perceiving spirit, IGPS, which aligns you to life-giving universal values. Inner dissociation is the degree you disconnect from internal energies to prioritize the connection to external energies, seeking alignment to conditioning, perceived personal problems, and their values over internal universal values. Inner divinity is attaching identity to the infinite intelligence inside, and inner dissociation is attaching identity to the infinite perception preferences outside. Are you inner or outer focused, and at what cost to divine intelligence? Are you guided or guiding? Have you noticed some people enjoy being told what to do? They appreciate being told exactly what to do because it takes the pressure off of them to know exactly how they should be. Grammar is an example of that. Yet other people do not appreciate being told what to do because someone telling them who and what to be also creates pressure. Pressure is inherent. Everyone is learning to listen to the inside pressure of their guiding perceiving spirit and flowing with external pressure of preferences, as is the way of connecting collectively. How well are you? Are you fulfilled within, in spirit? Inspiring life, embodying nature's evolving diverse observations while firmly rooted in the internal wisdom of congruence or peace, present embodied attunement, co-creating everywhere. Flow CEO. You are the chief operator of your life due to conscious will and attention. Are you aware and awake to the guiding perceiving spirit inside your body that is always talking to you? Observing it rather than obsessing over it is the key to flowing with life. You will learn to balance the internal and external energies which create the experience of pressure. When you are in a state of flowing, CEO, conscious embodied observer, life is happening for you, and you just dance along according to the perfectly natured internal guiding spirit, solely a matter of your own energetic sensitivity and focus. The power of conscious is the power of focus on desired and willed experiences and feeling states. Perception is reception. What you perceive, you receive. Trust is restored in your guiding core values when you learn to flow with external pressure. Whose standards do you value? When your energy wants to be told what to do, it is prioritizing outer standards. Standards of excellence in all areas exist diversely, ever-changing through time and space. We're talking beauty standards, education standards, material possession or income standards, and on and on. If outer standard preferences more than inner perception are guiding you, you are still learning to mature your connection to divine intelligence. Notice when you are operating out of your outer guided preference system, OGPS. Learn the difference between internal and external pressures to be a certain way. Some of the pressure is your restless soul and spirit. Some is external preferences actually incongruent to your fulfillment. You are either being you or letting the external world express its outer standards through you. That's a biggie. I'm going to reread it. You are either being you or letting the external world express its outer standards through you. When your life feels incongruent, it is because even if your outer world aligns with outer values, those values have to align internally to universal values and your unique soul and cultivated spirit's values to experience life congruence. Are you fighting with reality? Fighting is a form of dissociation because fighting is a form of not accepting reality as is. You feel two ways at once. You fight reality to bring it into congruence with preference attachments. Yet, you can limitlessly fight fire with fire, anger with anger, etc. Evolving the energy and matter has to be the focus. If the focus is on the fight, not the right, then the war is never ending. You can't even control your mind. If you could, your life would be in perfect order. If your life is in perfect congruence, thank you. Please teach us. Come out, wherever you are. You can't control. Control is an illusion. Your conscious power is will and attention, and that is the extent of your personal conscious mind's limited control. Pure attachmentless awareness is all powerful. Its only desire is to perceive and align accordingly, not control accordingly. Nurture is nature. Nature is nurture. What you cultivate, you have an abundance to share. Entitled or preferenced. So this is just an example to get you thinking about it. We do go deeper. If your whole life you slept on a mattress and then you go to a teepee in Arizona, dead of summer, without a mattress, you can be uncomfortable. How uncomfortable? Depends on your focus. How much do you lack? Regardless, your body is conditioned towards physical comfort. So whatever you believe you need or are conditioned to need, you will be less comfortable without. Unless you learn to align your conscious, subconscious, and unconscious states of being to your desired states of being, then you can be fluid even when the world doesn't meet your standards. You can actually learn to just regulate yourself. So now let's say instead of not having a mattress, the teepee didn't have air conditioning. Suddenly the exposure to high heat could be much more than a preference problem. We have limits, and that is by design. You are a co-creator, not an owner. You don't own anything. Everything you are is a combination of resources cultivated inside and outside of you over time and will leave you when divine intelligence, the unconscious mind, stops operating on your behalf. Your will and creations on earth resourced. What you have experienced inside and outside of you gets stored in the subconscious, gets ruminated on or avoided consciously, yet is always energetically known by the unconscious. Any misalignments of the three minds cause your incongruent life conditions. You either consume reality and fight with it, or you co-create reality and flow with it. Is your conditioning in the way of your desired life conditions, love? Practice wholeness. We've got the whole world in our hands. We got the whole wide world, blah, blah, blah. You know that song. It's more than a memorable nursery rhyme. It's the truth. Each day, each moment is whole, made up of experiences that may feel good and experiences that may feel bad. However, good and bad are almost always subjective to your conditioning. How often do you let a bad experience turn into a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad life? What are you holding? All emotions are energy feedback meant to aid you in your awakening process. Fear is interpreted as bad when it's holding you back from fulfilling your desired life congruence. Fear is interpreted as good when it alerts you to life-threatening danger or just an energetic incongruency present. Learning to discern the difference between life-enhancing and life-depleting energies to you will be discussed in Chapter 2, Replay. You will learn to replay your life from an expanded perspective of love. Chapter 3, Rewrite, will assist you in editing or transmuting energy you no longer wish to hold on to. Through understanding, you will naturally begin to put your attention and will on cultivating the energies you wish to expand in your life. Albert Einstein said, "Once you can accept the universe as matter expanding into nothing that is something, wearing stripes with plaid comes easy." And this last little bit of chapter one says, "Everyone needs space between experience to understand them. If there was no space in this book, you might be able to read it, but it certainly wouldn't be an enjoyable, flowing experience, rather a strenuous one. Without space, or too much space, creates a struggle to comprehend. Give yourself space, not too much space, to replay your life." And I just like this because it kind of looks like DNA. You'll notice if you flip through the book, I know you're listening to it and potentially watching the video, but if you flip through the book, there's lots of little fun things to look at, lots of little Easter eggs with extra meaning. So that concludes chapter one, Remember. Now we'll be moving on to chapter two, Replay.